Barbarous relic misconception. Gold, often deemed a barbarous relic, faces criticism from influential figures like Milton Friedman, Paul Krugman, Alan Greenspan, Barry Eichengreen, Nouriel Roubini, Warren Buffett, and Barry Ritholtz. However, it's crucial to dispel the misconception that economist John Maynard Keynes dismissed gold as inherently worthless. In reality, Keynes referred to the gold standard, not gold itself, as a barbarous relic in his 1924 book Monetary Reform. Keynes's critique was specific to how England applied the gold standard in the 1920s and 1930s. Back in 1914, Keynes supported the gold standard as a long-standing tradition. However, during World War I, many nations, including the UK, abandoned it and opted for printing government-backed money to fund the war. Keynes argued that sticking to the gold standard would enhance the UK's credit rating, and indeed, this strategy contributed to the nation's financial strength, helping it prevail over Germany with the support of the United States. In 1925, Keynes cautioned Winston Churchill, then in charge of Britain's finances, against a hasty return to the gold standard. Churchill's plan was to go back to pre-war gold prices, but Keynes warned this could lead to economic disaster, and he was right. Britain faced a depression well ahead of other countries due to deflation. Keynes, however, wasn't anti-gold, he just saw it differently. Fast forward to 1944, Keynes proposed an innovative idea at the Bretton Woods Conference, a new global currency backed not just by gold, but by a mix of commodities. This could have changed the game, offering stability without the pitfalls of a single gold standard. Insufficient gold. Critics often dismiss the idea of returning to the gold standard with a common argument, there's not enough gold. This claim implies that gold scarcity makes it impractical for supporting the global economy. However, this assertion is misleading. The real issue is the current price of gold, not its availability. There's actually an abundant supply of gold worldwide, enough to anchor global currencies if we were to revert to a gold standard. In the period from 1913 to 1965, the U.S. Federal Reserve maintained a gold backing of at least 40% for the money supply. Similarly, from 1815 to 1914, Britain operated with a 20% gold backing ratio. These historical examples show that it's feasible to establish a solid economic foundation using gold. Some critics argue that the gold supply doesn't grow fast enough to support world growth. However, from 1815 to 1971, global economies flourished while adhering to the gold standard. The growth argument is often used by those favoring inflation, a process that redistributes wealth. It's important to note that the gold supply is indeed sufficient to support growth, but not the inflationary growth that aligns with certain ideologies. The Great Depression. The idea that gold caused the Great Depression is often misunderstood. Experts like Milton Friedman and Ben Bernanke have highlighted that the root of the Great Depression lies in the Federal Reserve's mistaken monetary policies from 1927 to 1931. Both Presidents Herbert Hoover and Franklin D. Roosevelt's policies worsened the situation. Even Bernanke, not a gold advocate, argues that the gold standard didn't limit the money supply during the Depression. During the crisis, the Fed printed money equivalent to 250% of its gold reserves, but it never surpassed 100% of the global gold supply. The real issue was a confidence crisis. Consumers hesitated to borrow, and lenders were unwilling to lend. Fearing unpredictable government interventions by Hoover and Roosevelt, businesses and investors preferred hoarding cash over investing, deepening the crisis. The value of gold and money. Forget the idea that gold doesn't earn interest. That's like saying dollar bills in your pocket should yield something. Gold, like cash, is valuable because it's widely accepted as a way to trade, save, and measure worth. Both gold and dollars serve as stable assets, free from risks that might come with investments like stocks. Even Bitcoin falls into this category. But when you stash your cash in a bank, it's no longer just money, it's a deposit, which the bank lists as a debt. Remember Cyprus in 2013 or Greece in 2015? In financial crises, banks might not let you access those funds. That's why it's crucial to understand the nature of different assets and where they stand in times of trouble. Intrinsic value objection. One common argument against gold is its supposed lack of intrinsic value. This idea traces back to Karl Marx's endorsement of the labor theory of value, suggesting that the labor and capital invested in producing a good determine its worth. However, economists moved away from this concept in the 1870s, embracing the idea of subjective value. This newer perspective argues that the buyer's desire for a product or asset dictates its price. The Fed's hidden asset. Even though the U.S. left the gold standard and top economists like Greenspan and Bernanke downplay gold's significance, there's a secret the Federal Reserve holds. Deep within its vaults at Fort Knox and West Point lie 8,000 metric tons of gold, valued at $11 billion on its balance sheet, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Since 1971, the Fed hasn't reevaluated the worth of its gold certificates, when gold was priced at a mere $42 an ounce. If we update that value to today's standards, around $1,200 per ounce, the Fed's gold stash balloons to over $300 billion. That's right, hidden beneath the surface lies an asset worth a whopping $300 billion. Even if officials ignore it, gold quietly supports our entire financial system. The dollar, the bedrock of our economy, relies on the Fed's credibility, and gold serves as the backbone of the Fed's financial health. Gold's unique appeal. Ever wondered why gold is a go-to choice for societies throughout history? It's not just about its shimmer. Chemically, gold stands out among the 118 elements. Forget about helium and argon, they're gases. Uranium and plutonium are radioactive. Even metals like aluminum, silver, and copper have their flaws. Aluminum isn't sturdy enough, silver tarnishes easily, and copper discolors in the air. Enter gold, the golden middle ground, beautiful, durable, and just rare enough to hold its value without being impossible to find. Plus, unlike copper or silver, it's not snagged up in manufacturing. Now, you've probably heard about gold products on financial markets, like the ETF with the ticker symbol GLD. But here's the catch, those ETF shares aren't chunks of gold you can touch, they're paper. If the New York Stock Exchange takes an unexpected break, you won't be cashing in those GLD shares. They're like gold's distant relatives. Experts suggest if you're after the real deal, go for actual gold. Sure, you'll pay a bit for delivery and storage, but the perks outweigh those minor costs. So, when it comes to gold, skip the middleman and go for the genuine glitter. In a world increasingly reliant on digital currencies and facing economic uncertainties, gold emerges as a tangible and secure alternative. Unlike paper money or digital currencies, gold is immune to hacking or erasure. With the growing digitization of wealth, the value of having a physical asset becomes evident. The Fed's hidden asset. Even though the U.S. left the gold standard and top economists like Greenspan and Bernanke downplay gold's significance, there's a secret the Federal Reserve holds. Deep within its vaults at Fort Knox and West Point lie 8,000 metric tons of gold, valued at $11 billion on its balance sheet, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Since 1971, the Fed hasn't reevaluated the worth of its gold certificates, when gold was priced at a mere $42 an ounce. If we update that value to today's standards, around $1,200 per ounce, the Fed's gold stash balloons to over $300 billion. That's right, hidden beneath the surface lies an asset worth a whopping $300 billion. Even if officials ignore it, gold quietly supports our entire financial system. The dollar, the bedrock of our economy, relies on the Fed's credibility, and gold serves as the backbone of the Fed's financial health. Gold's unique appeal. Ever wondered why gold is a go-to choice for societies throughout history? It's not just about its shimmer. Chemically, gold stands out among the 118 elements. Forget about helium and argon, they're gases. Uranium and plutonium are radioactive. Even metals like aluminum, silver, and copper have their flaws. Aluminum isn't sturdy enough, silver tarnishes easily, and copper discolors in the air. Enter gold, the golden middle ground, beautiful, durable, and just rare enough to hold its value without being impossible to find. Plus, unlike copper or silver, it's not snagged up in manufacturing. Now, you've probably heard about gold products on financial markets, like the ETF with the ticker symbol GLD. But here's the catch. Those ETF shares aren't chunks of gold you can touch, they're paper. If the New York Stock Exchange takes an unexpected break, you won't be cashing in those GLD shares. They're like gold's distant relatives. Experts suggest if you're after the real deal, go for actual gold. Sure, you'll pay a bit for delivery and storage, but the perks outweigh those minor costs. So, when it comes to gold, skip the middleman and go for the genuine glitter. In a world increasingly reliant on digital currencies and facing economic uncertainties, gold emerges as a tangible and secure alternative. Unlike paper money or digital currencies, gold is immune to hacking or erasure. With the growing digitization of wealth, the value of having a physical asset becomes evident. The 10% rule. Experts suggest keeping your gold holdings at around 10% of your overall investment portfolio. While the allure of gold is strong, it's essential to be mindful of its volatility. Gold prices can swing, as seen between 2013 and 2016, when they fluctuated but didn't dip below a certain range. This steadiness can be encouraging for potential gold investors. The potential for a collapse of the international monetary system looms, but predicting its timing is challenging. In 2009, global leaders, fearing a prolonged U.S. economic downturn, decided to replace a strong dollar with a weaker one. This move allowed the U.S. to freely print money, triggering an ongoing currency war as other countries sought to undermine the dollar's role as the primary reserve currency. The war on cash. In today's America, most people rely on credit cards, debit cards, and online payment systems like PayPal instead of using cash. Some experts, like Larry Summers and Kenneth Rogoff, say we should get rid of cash altogether because they think it helps criminals avoid taxes and commit crimes. But going cashless could cause problems for everyone, not just bad guys. Here's why you should think twice before ditching cash. Protecting your money. Right now, if you have $1,000 in cash, it stays $1,000 no matter what. But if banks start charging negative interest rates, keeping money in the bank could mean you end up with less than you started with. Keeping control. Cash gives you the power to spend your money when and where you want, without worrying about fees or bank policies. Going cashless means relying on banks and other companies to manage your money for you. Key points. 1. Keynes criticized the gold standard as a barbarous relic due to its misapplication in the 1920s and 1930s. 2. Historical examples show gold can provide a solid economic foundation despite misconceptions about its scarcity. 3. The Great Depression was not caused by gold, but by flawed monetary policies and government interventions. 4. Gold's unique chemical properties and tangible appeal make it a stable asset in an economically uncertain world. 5. Despite objections about its intrinsic value, gold plays a significant role in supporting the financial system. 6. Gold's versatility in handling inflation and deflation, along with its steadiness, makes it a recommended addition to investment portfolios, typically around 10%.